97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the billion-dollar industry we know as youth sports. Our guest, Bart Gray, owner of Bandit Sports Center in Farmville, Virginia. So Bart, billions with a B, $15 billion a year in youth sports, travel teams, regional and national events, some of the really big facilities and programs, Grand Park Sports Camp, Rocky Top Sports World, Lake Point Sports Community, and now Bandit Sports Center. So what makes a guy who's worked for the federal government for quite a while decide to go pretty much hardcore into youth sports?
Well, I have enjoyed my time working with youth sports. I've been very actively coaching for the last 17, 18 years. I have 30 years with the federal government, so it's getting kind of time in my career where I begin to look at what that next step will be. But I've very much enjoyed working with kids in sports. It's something that my wife and I have been able, we've been fortunate enough to do together. As you noted, there's a lot of interest in youth sports and a lot of opportunities to be able to take kids to, events and opportunities that are a little bit outside of the traditional little league or local ballpark. So it's exciting. It's always new. And for me, it's just a great opportunity to work with kids and see them reach another level of what they're trying to do.
So one of the things that seems to be coming about as part of this is what's being called a tournication. Kids come to a tournament, but the city in which this sports complex is located realizes that a lot of people are coming in for these tournaments, and they don't necessarily want to sit at the ballpark 12 hours a day for the entire weekend. Maybe there's some other stuff they'd like to do. And the cities are building these complexes and hotels and stuff. Is this what's going to be happening in Farmville?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be happening in Farmville. We have Farmville is very blessed. Farmville, Virginia is very blessed with two universities, Longwood University and Hampden City College, actually. So there's already some things in place. Hotels are beginning to build around it. But yes, we've seen, as I take teams down into North Carolina and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we see cities that are investing a ton of their money in infrastructure, and they're bringing teams in to play at some just a tremendously nice sports complex. I know for Myrtle Beach is a perfect example. On the outskirts of town, there's a huge sports complex that's just popped up. The city maintains, and now you're seeing on those exits right there outside of Myrtle Beach, you're seeing multiple hotels pop up, restaurants. So, you're right. It's there for the cities with a little bit of vision ahead of how they could bring people in.
All right, so let me go back to your particular situation. You're still working in the D.C. area, and yet every Thursday afternoon you hotfoot it down to Farmville, Virginia, and spend your entire weekend working with youth sports. It's like, don't you take a break?
I would like a break. But you're correct. I mean, today's Thursday. I'll be leaving the D.C. area about 6:30 p.m., and then I'll come back Sunday night back into D.C. But for me, it's a lot of fun. I'll get a little bit of sleep Thursday night, and we'll have multiple practices Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But we have several age groups we're working with, 10-year-olds all the way to 14-year-olds. They keep it exciting. What's that saying? You really don't notice the time if you're doing something you love. And for me, it's that way. 5 or 6 hours of working with the kids kind of goes by pretty quick. And again, I'm very fortunate. My wife loves it. My sons help me coach as well. So it's a good opportunity for me to spend time with the family.
So here's the part that's difficult to understand. The parents some of them spend maybe $20,000 a year going to tournaments, you know, housing in these cities, transportation, $350 baseball bats, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all hoping to get a college scholarship, or many of them hoping for that. You know, I haven't done a study of this, but it seems like if you take all that money and you saved it up, you would have the cost of college paid for it. And how many of these kids are going to get college scholarships?
I agree with you. You know, I can't, you know, speak to what's deep in the parents' heart, but for us, just taking a step back from college scholarships, we see it in the parents. It's difficult for them. They see one or two kids on their local little league team that are going and doing travel, and they want that for their kid. They feel that kid is getting something their kid isn't getting. They see those kids getting better, being able to work on their skills, like an indoor facility and with instructor. They just feel like it's so funny. We just had this conversation last night with two parents on the phone, and they're like, look, our child is learning things that they never learned at the ballpark. So I think taking it back from college scholarships, there's just that at the beginning that they feel that their kids are missing out on something, and that's just a huge driver for parents. You know, parents want to provide for their kids and want to give them the best and stuff like that. We were in that college scholarship chase though with Hunter, who he's now a senior at Ohio Christian.
Your eldest
son. As we begin to go to things, the first couple of things, you begin to realize that, you know, if you wanted your son to get an opportunity to be looked at, you had to bring them to these showcase environments. I mean, we would go to, you know, something in like Virginia Beach, and there would be, you know, 20 schools. And I think from the school's perspective, they were beginning to learn, hey, no reason to go scout, you know, all over the place when I can go to one location and 100, 150 kids were showing up. So, it's just I don't know, double-edged sword or whatever you call it, but if you're wanting to have your kid get that opportunity for college, you're kind of locked into that showcase tournament team opportunity.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle, and now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about youth sports and the billion-dollar industry it has become. We're talking with Bart Gray, who is the owner of Bandit Sports Center in Farmville, Virginia. So, you know, being a journalist, I feel like I do have to look at the negative side of things. And the second negative that I see, and this is from personal experience, we have a nephew who was into travel sports, travel baseball, and down in Central Florida. And we go down to visit the family, and, you know, we'd show up on a Thursday evening or, you know, and stay through till Sunday, and Jacob, the player, is like, he's not there. He's not there the whole time. In fact, his parents aren't there either because they're off with him, at the tournament. And he comes back an hour before we're supposed to leave, you know, 5 o'clock on Sunday, dead tired, hardly ever able to even hold a conversation. So it seems like there has to be some balance when you're looking at it from the parents' perspective. Yes, you want them to have these opportunities, but that's not all there is to life.
No, I mean, I agree. I'm fortunate every year to get to take a travel team to Cooperstown Dreams Park in Cooperstown, New York, and there's weekly tournaments. 104 teams from across the country come in for that 1 week of baseball. So we get to talk to a lot of parents and coaches, you know, from across the country, not just my region, but, you know, kind of learn how other people do it. And yeah, the time commitment for some of these travel programs is just off the charts. Two practices a week, you know, 2 hours a night, then tournaments every weekend. And, you know, obviously these aren't events that are optional. I mean, parents have to be there. They've put a lot of money into these things. So I understand exactly what you're saying. I see it on the parents' face. Not that they don't want to be there, but they kind of are looking for maybe something a little different. For Barbie and I, for Farmville, that was why we were picked Farmville. It's a location where we knew that people were driving an hour and a half one way to go to the travel facilities. We knew the financial burden it was kind of putting on those families. So we came up with a little bit of a different model. I always tell people we're Travel's a little T. We focus on player development, yet we're still, you know, every couple of weeks we're able to go off to these tournaments and give the kids the exposure. So for us, we were looking for a little bit more of a blend that eliminated that thing that you'd seen where just parents, just every weekend, it's travel baseball, and no time for anything else.
So you sort of focus, if you will, on baseball skills, and NFL flag football, which you've been, I know you've been associated with that for a number of years. Why flag football, and does it have anything to do with participation in youth tackle football going down because of the concerns about CTE and all these other things?
Well, I've been with NFL flag football for dozens of years now. I think, let's see, Hunter's 22, so I've been with them 16, 17 years. Little backstory, you know, I was small when I was a kid. So tackle football was not an option for me. My mom was not ever going to let me on a tackle football field ever. You know, I mean, obviously this was well before concussion discussions. But as I, you know, grew up and tried to become a responsible adult, I went to Auburn University, got very connected in intramurals, and I loved flag football. I loved the opportunity it was to play the great game, and yet it eliminated some, you know, barriers of equipment and this and that. So when I got out, the NFL had the same idea, wanted to offer flag football, and I've been with it ever since. It's, you know, this is coming up a lot lately, though, for concussions and injury, and you know, I am no authority on it. You know, I do end up with a lot of kids that have been at tackle, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and for whatever reason, the parents now are making a decision to get them in the flag. And for us, you know, as I talk to local high school coaches, you know, we tend to turn loose the kids. The kids then, once they get into 8th, 9th grade, they go into tackle there at their local high school. And the flag has just been wonderful. You know, it develops hands, speed, you know, really everything but the contact. And the contact is something they can add pretty quickly there on the high school level. The conversation of concussions and injury, I mean, it is high. I mean, you can't hardly meet a group of parents without it coming up nowadays.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about youth sports and the explosion thereof. The industry has doubled in the past 10 years. Bart Gray is part of that. He's owner of the Bandit Sports Center. So how much of those billions are you making, Bart?
We haven't quite touched into the billions yet. Farmville, and again, as I said earlier, Farmville was kind of a choice by my wife and I. I mean, it's not a place that we feel like we're going to make millions of dollars, but we feel like we're going to be able to serve the community well. It's nice when I hear parents tell me that, you know, we don't have to drive 3 hours round trip now to get this opportunity. You know, that means a lot to me, and I know we're going to do a really good job there in Farmville. Will we grow? I think we'll grow. We already have 2 travel teams established, a 12 and 13-year-old. We're adding a 14-year-old travel team in the spring, and we just opened in August. So we're excited. We're going to have our first NFL flag clinic in a couple weeks. So, we may get a little piece of the billions you're talking about.
Well, remember me when that happens. So we were talking about flag football, and you, with all the years that you've had it, you've already had some pretty good success with that. You've taken, a championship team to Orlando, I think?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. The program that I built in Arlington, Virginia, With working with Arlington County Parks and Rec, we ended up with over 1,300 kids playing. Of course, now, sadly, I had to step away from that now as I'm focusing on Farmville. But part of that was 185 girls, the largest NFL flag girls program in the nation. And in that, we were able to be very fortunate. We have a 14-year-old girls team that has gone to the national championships. I think we've gone 5 years in a row now, and we were the national championships. Not last year, but the year before. So a lot of success in the girls' ball, and I love girls' ball. It's nice that, you know, the girls want to learn about football. They want to know, and flags is the perfect avenue for that. It takes a lot of work, though. You have to be very flexible around the girls' schedules. They're super busy with basketball and field hockey and lacrosse and stuff, but it's well worth it to see them out there playing.
So what interests nearly 200 girls in football, other than, you know, let's not be sexist about it, but you know, I'm dating a guy who plays football and I feel like I need to know a little something about it, or I'm genuinely interested in this sport as a sport?
You know, I think it's that. I don't think these girls had any interest about, I mean, I don't know, maybe hanging out with dad and throwing the ball, but I think football is a great sport. I love football. I think there's just a lot of fun to be had on the field. I think there's a lot of life lessons to learn from football. And we started, it was funny, we had a 5-year plan, and we had 13 girls in the program, and we really based it on bring a friend. If you're having a good time, bring a friend. And those 13 became 30, which became 60, which became, you know, the 185 we had last year. We were able to, and it's a testimony for the boys coaches too. We were able to find quality boys teams to play them. We knew at the beginning the games would be lopsided, but the boys were super respectful and helping the girls out. And now, you know, the girls are able to, you know, with the selected schedule, are able to hold their own. And, of course, our national championship girls, the team that's been the last 5 years, they do more than hold their own. The first game last week was a 20-0 win over a boys team. So they can definitely play the sport well.
All right, so let's go back to the whole idea of youth sports and, you know, the hope of getting some kind of athletic scholarship. 2% of high school athletes realize that dream. So if that's not the main thing, why don't you reiterate to me what is the main thing?
Well, again, I think it's twofold. Again, and I think your question is talking about the growth of travel sports. Number one, I think the parents are seeing other kids getting those opportunities, and they're seeing those kids getting better on the field, and they want their kid to get better. Like I said last night, a parent's like, you know, he's learning things with you that he would never have been able to learn on a local level. And that's not a ding to the local level. It's just, you know, sometimes resources are limited or training's limited or whatever, and I have the ability to just focus on that team. So I completely get it. I worked local Little League as well. The second part of that, though, and this is, I mean, I know there's an ugly side to it. I mean, I understand the commitment and, but for me, I'll take you back to 4 summers ago. I took an 18-year-old boy travel showcase team. These are juniors, seniors in high school trying to get seen by these schools. And my message to all of them was, I don't know if you're going to get seen or not, but we're not here to cut your dreams off short. We're here to support you. We want to make it realistic for you. And a lot of what we did was trying to match those kids up to, first of all, their academic goals. You know, what is your academic goals? Then that led us to schools that offered those degrees. And then if baseball was a match, then so be it. And, you know, and that's for my son. You know, he wanted to give it a shot to play college baseball. And we are, you know, we did not want to ever just limit, which got us into this travel conversation.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Bart Gray. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is the service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.